The starting point is going to be is let's just review what the Riffa said. Use that as our what you were here for. Oh, you kind of sort of listened to it. We'll use that as our starting point. The struggle here is how to understand this Xerashava. Not now again. Not to understand Xerashava, to understand this Xerashava. Because it's a phenomenal question to ask. What is it about the institution? Like, why should we trust Zereshov? That's a good question.
Rabbi.
And that's a separate... I'm just saying we can get lost in that for eons.
There's so many things you get lost in.
I agree. But that's... So part of my job is like the shepherd who leads the flock in a certain direction. I'm trying to get you down a certain path. What? What?
It's pronounced aeons.
Is it really?
I don't think so.
All right, 1 second. So what the Riffa jumps out to avoid the problem here. What's the problem with the Gzera Shabbat? I mean, you guys did the Tosfos. We'll look at it inside again, but what's the problem?
It seems kind of arbitrary.
No, that's a question on how Gzera Shabbat works.
It's just using these little specific aspects of...
You mean, I think what you mean to say... What?
See, what's the problem with the Gzera Shabbat?
Because you're taking matzah and isolating one part of it and
the
whole thing.
Pesach.
No, matzah.
What do you mean matzah?
Yes, matzah.
But that's what you're isolating is achilas matzah.
No, you're
isolating
parts of achilas matzah.
Okay.
How do you know what it is?
Oh, okay. It's right. That's I think what Gabriel is getting at. The question is that Zereshava means some sort of parallelism, right?
Yeah.
So the question is, and what's fascinating about this is that within this Zereshava, how do you arrange this parallelism? How do you come up with a system? So 1 second, let's just review the Riffa quickly, and then we'll get to the Tosos. The Riffa is very clever. The Riffa says, I'll tell you, he makes it very simple. He says, it's nothing to do with, it's not a true duplication by any means. Rather, what is it? Rather, that we already know, that's why he uses the Ibai Achel to teach you that there's a pre-existing Chiyav to have Pas on Yontav. He's trying to tell you, wait, let me finish. He's trying to tell you that we know already there's a Chiyav to eat on Yontav. We know that already. A generic chiyuv to eat, right? So all the gzeir shava could be doing is what? All it could be telling you is that within that chiyuv achil that already exists, right? There's a question of modifying it, meaning that by Pesach, what do we learn? By Pesach demands a certain type of substance you eat, and on Sukkot it demands a certain locale, locale, or with a little thing on top, or a makom, right? But the point, what the Ritva is trying to stress is that it's not a din. It's not. There's no idea of the Gzera Shava creating the actual obligation. Because if it did, if it does create the obligation, what's the consequence then? Right, that's where the consequence is going to emerge. Because why? The parallelism. Well, according to Ritva, the Gzera Shava is simply set up to tell you that, to give the generic yantav, in my opinion, the generic yantav, the character of that specific yantav. There's a generic, see, there's like this. How did Kadosh Baruch Hu, I'll tell you that. Kadosh Baruch Hu says in the Torah, I'm not darshaning, but he says in the Torah, Eilam Moadei Hashem, right? So the Torah tells us there's certain festivals, okay? Now, the idea of itself of a festival of a yantav is really built off of Shabbos. Shabbos is considered one of the Moadim, right? It's one of the holidays, okay? So what happens is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had the first original holiday was Shabbos, and then Yom Tov, it's not that Yom Tov is a new phenomenon. It's that he took the phenomenon Shabbos and then modified it, okay? But that's generic Yom Tov. In other words, there was an already pre-existing concept of Kedushas and Yom. Once Shabbos is created, that exists as well. Now what the Gzera Shava does, it comes along and takes that pre-existing generic idea of Yom Tov and then creates one small modification to give each one the character of either Pesach or Sukkot. But the chiyuv of achila already exists. The gzeirah shava is not creating the chiyuv of achila. That's what we kind of said last time. No, don't grumble. Give me a question.
Three questions.
See, Naftali, the first thing we got to deal with is that Tosos. Let's just deal with let's get the Rav Elazar stuff out of the way. He brings up a much different gzeirah shava because he says just like you saw the psukim, just like the kohanim, right? And we pass off all moy lo seitzu shivas yamim. Right, and so what do? They were there. Well, they were there day and night. So too,
yeah,
that's a very bizarre Gzera Shava. Right. See, that's the right question asked. In other words, because you're going to this foreign domain that has nothing to do with a holiday. He's going into this business that it happened to be this one time. What happened? The Kohanim resided in El Moed. You can learn from that now. So what's the answer? There is an answer. You stink.
There it is.
What? No answer.
So much cheer today.
What would you say?
Yeah.
Come on, what's Rav Elazar trying to do? We already know what he's trying to accomplish. What?
Oh, are you...
Come on. Give me some svara. What's he trying to do?
Is
it?
Maybe. I know.
Don't bias me. Just say something. Say what you need. Say what it is. What do you think?
Is it because they were forced to go in there for 7 days?
That is one thing. Why would you turn to this specific incident in the Torah as a basis to determine what to do on Sabbath? What? It is the paradigm example of a temporary dira. Because what happened? They went there for 7 days, no leaving at all. Okay? No leaving. So if you want to express, if you want to look for a source of the greatest expression of a temporary dira, guess what the source is? The Kohanim. Right? They left their normal existence and went into the Olamoid for 7 full days and nights. So now, the trick that Rebbe Lazar does, what's the little tricky part? It's not quite that smooth. Because what does he have to do? Because he can't say, remember what we said last time, he can't say that there's an actual chiyuv to do what? To actually live for 24-7. It's funny how no one takes that as a possibility. You notice that? But he doesn't say that. What? Right. So what does he do then? This goes back to what we were saying before. What? Yeah, but what is he using Yom HaValayla to show you? That, think about it. Because if you have a meal each part of the day, right, there's no part of your day that goes by where you haven't done some action of Dira in the Sukkah. Yeah. So, but he doesn't go as far as to say that's an actual duplication of what they did.
Yeah.
Right? He's saying that's the paradigm. That's the paradigm.
It seems a lot better than it depends on what you're trying
better?
To
better? Right. I guess so.
It depends on what you're
right.
trying
to
learn out. Yeah.
Yeah, so Josh, good. See, that's Rebbe Lazar. Rebbe Lazar's saying that turn to the Torah, and it turns out we have a precedent of a temporary dira, a paradigm temporary dira. He's about to. That's the next thing. This is Rebbe Lazar. Rebbe Lazar holds 14 meals. What?
No, I'm going to ask
a different question.
No.
We'll do Tosos outside quickly, and then let's go to the Ritva. So Tosos says, he quotes Yerushalmi. It's very mischievous, Tosos. Because he doesn't get involved personally. What does he do? He says, oh, by the way, take a look at this Yerushalmi, right? And he doesn't comment on it. No, Tosos does not inject anything personal in this. It's almost like he's telling you, hey, man, if you want to approach this Gezeirah Shavah, you might want to look at this Yerushalmi. But what's so difficult about the Yerushalmi is, if you're going to take, in other words, based on what we said before, obviously the Gezeirah Shavah is going to tell you that what does Pesach create? It's not a modifying a Chiyuv Achila, rather, what's it doing? It's creating the Chiyuv Achila. But the problem is that if it's creating a Chiyuv Achila, right, how would you know where to stop? How would you know where to stop in the parallelism? So notice the Yerushalmi, if you actually look in the Yerushalmi, it never answers the questions that the Amorim asking it. They say, oh, should I also not eat on Erev Sukkot? The Gemara doesn't say, ah, that's ridiculous. It remains silent. Almost as if telling us, hey, you guys got to figure something out here. So how do we work that out? But before we do that, let's look at the Ritva. I know you guys had a little bit of our time left. Okay, now, if you notice, the first part of the Ritva was a Chazara for you guys. Okay, right? Okay, I want, again, to re-emphasize this idea. So let's go Vaitre. So who's reading? You got it. What?
No, I'll read it.
Good. Oh, Alphabet was in here prepared. I won't pick on you. What? Go ahead. All right, fine. The Shir Achila Zu. Okay, so now you have a thing. So it's interesting. Tosos is, the Ritva is saying it's not enough just to modify the location, right? But the question, it's interesting, he's not satisfied by that. He wants, you got to notice that. It's not just enough to say the location is the modification. There has to be something more here. There has to be something in the Shir Achila itself that ties you to the Sukkah. So what does he say? No, something Shir Shabbat literally means... That's Ritva Svara.
Oh, because
they can't study it. Yeah, we said last time because there's a chiyuv. There's already a chiyuv achila of eating bread on Yom Tov. Because how do you answer the Zera Shava? Yeah, that's what he says. That's a similarity between the two. Correct. Go. Interesting. Now, what's the implication from that? Well, what does that mean? What does that mean first? I'm sorry. What does that mean?
That's like a set like amount that you have to eat.
Which is how much? More than a kibetza. Okay. Well, let's make it easier. Let's call it kibetza plus. Okay. Now, let me ask you this: implying, and that's considered a chilas keva. Implying what? Come on, Roth. You asked this before. What's that implying?
They have to have a meal.
No, what wouldn't be considered Achilles Kebab?
Oh, that's second.
What? Yeah, no, more, forget that. No, because he could say, he could argue that, he could still stick with his far and argue that it also has to be nicker in the substance itself. You understand? Recognizable. Evidence. Malcolm isn't sufficient. He wants to see that what I'm dealing with.
How do you not know that one?
Yeah, drill that into your skull. Nicker. It's okay. I know. Well, that's why I want to at least get his questions out. So now he says, no, so the implication is, what if I wanted a kezias of lechem? Right? Where do I have to eat that? Where can I eat that? Anywhere you want to. I know. Oh my God, how could that be? Don't we paskin? Yeah, I know what we paskin. Don't worry about that. For now, let's assume the guy can have a kezias of lechem outside the sukkah, because it's not a what? What? I know you didn't. What's it? Because it's, no, you can have a kezias of lechem outside the sukkah, because it's not achilas keba. It's not considered like a substantial eating. What?
Why does he give it a new amount?
Oh, because he's not satisfied in saying that the makam creates the modification. He wants to see it in the substance also, according to this position. But the thing is, you already have a chiyav to eat a kezias apas. On Yantav. Yantav creates that chiyav kezias. In other words, you could be, think about this. According to him, you could be Yotze Yerchiv Yantav of Pas, where?
Anywhere.
Outside the sukkah.
But that was my question.
Right. You could. You could. You want to? Oh, hold on. Okay. So go on, Gabriel. Kamohu. Okay, so what's he doing now? You got to pick up on the Lushan here. Okay, what's he? What? No. What he's saying? We only learn out from Chagamatzos just the chiyav achilas pas like it, right? Aval. But you can't get a perfect parallelism. Why? Because the chiyav of achilas matzah is kezias, right? It's not a new chiyav achila, right? So we're going to say basuk is aval hacha, but here. No. Okay, no. Avahacha dechiv achila basukahu. In other words, what's happening here? It's telling you must eat in the sukkah, right? There's by Pesach, it's a stam mitzvah achila. Every time you have a mitzvah achila in the Torah, what's the shir's kazayas? But here, it's not the mitzvah achila; it's that I have to do it where? In the sukkah. So he's saying, humadin sukkah shir her haroya lechova. So that's it's so beautiful what he's saying. He's saying that, so the sheer. No, it's beautiful. He's saying what the size of the amount you should eat, what should determine what that amount is? What's it? The sukkah. Meaning, what's considered an achila besukkah? You understand? It's so subtle, but it's so brilliant. He's saying that it's not enough to say that I have to have a separate achila and a makam sukkah. He's saying if to determine how much you have to eat, it's got to come from the very thing itself. Sukkah tells you how much you have to eat in a sukkah to make it a achilas keva, a beitza. That's how much I have to eat.
Well, yeah. Why does the locale change like all the rules?
We already have a mitzvah achila by sukkah. Because achilas yantav. You have to have a kezayis, a pasan yantav. The generic yantav exists already. You understand? So what he's saying is that, but we have to show what makes us unique, like Pesach. By Pesach, you have to have a certain type of substance. So because you have a certain type of substance, right? So then the normal shear will apply, because all you're doing is changing what I'm eating. But that won't change the amount. But by Sukkah, what he's saying, it's insufficient to just say that I have to eat in a hut. He's saying that's not good enough. What do I have to do? Not only have to eat in the hut, but the substance itself should reflect the fact that I'm eating in the hut. You understand? How does it do that? So increasing the size.
It makes a new like guidelines for us.
Yes, because of the nature of eating in a sukkah. Okay. Yes.
Every time we need to like be like.
He goes back. At the end, it's interesting. Even he, as innovative as this is, he takes a step back.
I don't really get the approach.
What?
The approach
is like.
What's Nun Reshva?
Emperor Nero. Go on. Chas v'chalila. Aval, achar. All right. Aval, you look it up. Get it at Roshi Tevos. Aval, achar kach.
Aval, achar kach.
But you see, it's interesting. So as innovative as this is, he won't commit to it. Because he had probably someone like him in his shir, that guy there, who kept nudging him and saying, what do you mean? Xavier Shabbos, you got duplication. You can't do that. Right? So now he says, you're right. I, you know what? You can't appreciate my creativity. So you know what? Unfortunately, we're going to go back to going old school. That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. So go. So what is he saying? He says, Avacha Chazerbo. Vamali. No. It's not your fault. He says, the Kevan, the Gamri, the Gzira, Shav, Mechag, Matzos, Legamre, Darshinan. No. When we have Gzira, Shav, guess what? Rules of the game are Legamre. What does the Gamre mean? Don't say finish.
Complete.
Complete. Okay?
Wait, what was
four five? No, because you're going to learn over time. Right, it's Legamre, Darshinan. Right, a little inflection there. Okay. He says, Mahasam. It means that he says none of this business anymore of generic yanto, like what I want to say, and then building. No. I'll tell you what it is. Guess what? You know what? On Tesav and Pesach, the Torah comes along and creates a chiyuv achila. It says on this night you must have matzah. Okay, and therefore the same thing has to apply by Sukkos. None of this modification nonsense. That's out. Okay. That's it. So just like it's a kazayis there, it has to be a kazayis here. Okay, but here's a problem.
Bishmaitin,
which means what?
It's not explained.
You can't. You'll see why. Because the problem the Riff is having is that where do we see, like, I think, who was saying this before? Where's the source for this? Right? That's what he's saying. He's saying, but ultimately, it points for creativity. But at the end of the day, what does Xerah Shava tell you? Tesvav. What's done on Pesach is done on Sukkos. You can be cutesy and come up with all these different interpretations. At the end of the day, that's the Gzera Shava. Kazayis. Okay? But now, again, now everything has to fall apart now if you're going to go Kazayis. So he says, Kava. And even though, I know everyone freaks out when you hear this, but even though in the rest of the holiday, Kazayis is not considered Kava. I mean, you can have a Kazayis of Pas outside the Sukkah, right? Roshai the Ochel Chutz Sukkah. Bilel Rishon. Right. And therefore, on the first night, what did they do? They said, you have to have a kazayis in the sukkah. Bilel Matzinu. He's saying that, don't look at it anymore as this idea of a generic yontov with a modification. He's saying that, what did they do? What did the Torah do? It told you that, on this night, what do you have to have? Kazayis Hamatza. Right, and therefore you have to do the same thing on Sukkos. Even though you could have a kazayis outside the sukkah, that's out. Kibetz is out. We're on the next shita now. We're done with kibetz. Okay. Right, but keep that in mind. So there's no difference between any of the days of the chag. Right? Even though the R is by Karbanos, whatever. There's no difference between the first day, the second day, the third day of Sukkos, except for the Chiyuv Achila Zu. Right? The Ilu. Dinam Shava. That still applies. The Kasuv Shava, Osama Sukkos, Teshu Shava, Shamim, Zepshuta. Okay? So at the end, what do we have according to him? So a simpler way of learning, which is basically the classic way of learning Gzeira Shava. Let's just do the last position, and then we'll take a step back. Hold on. So we're now, Aval Shemati B'Shem. Now, this is always the toughest one. I think in the Nefesh Rav, I think one of the briskest farms, they mentioned, I always misquote this, I don't know if it was Rav Chaim or Moshe, but one of them did that. He slept in the sukkah, even though it was raining. Yeah. The Rav, one of them, right. Was it the Rav, was it the Rav? I thought it was Rav Moshe Soloveitchik who did it. The Rav quotes it, but I think the Rav Moshe. Yeah, he does, right. But it wasn't him who did it. Was it Rav Chaim or Rav Moshe? I don't care about the Lacham Maisa. What I care about is the Svara. So what do you say here? So hey, so keep going, Baiter. She says, that sounds crazy, right? Well, I mean, what's crazy about this? I mean, come on, ask the right question. Don't ask the question of, you tell me you got to sleep in the sukkah no matter what the first night. That's not the right question to ask. What's the right question? Yes, that's the right question. Meaning that the gzera, the on Pesach, what do we learn about Pesach? I have to have matzah, right? How can you possibly go from my achilas matzah to learning an idea that I must sleep in the sukkah the first night? Okay, keep going. Mihas, right? And even if it rains, right? V'lo etziru lo leir min a sukkah. El b'shar yamim shuvir shos. Avav lai rishon akasuv kavu chobam b'zera shava. Tesvav. Tesvav mechaga matzos. Unbelievable. That's the zera shava. Just like you have to eat matzah on Pesach, so too I have to sleep in the sukkah the first night. And think about, I mean, you understand the your kasha is the right kasha. But just to be a little cutesy, there's another kasha you can ask. How could you possibly hide to sleep in a sukkah when it's raining? When we pee svara, what happens when it rains in the sukkah? It's not a sukkah anymore. That's not even a sukkah. Oh. Right? What kind of thing is that? No. It's not a sukkah. It's not your mukbang. What?
I thought the whole point is
even more so. So what,
no,
you mean?
No, that it should be.
No, it's not. No, I don't think the point of it is just rain in there. It's just that the problem is. Right, but the problem is you have to have some openings up there. That's because you want to rain in there.
I don't understand your story to say that it's not a sukkah.
I didn't say a svara.
You said the Korea al-Pi svara should not be a sukkah if it's not a sukkah.
No, that's the idea behind it. The idea is, in general, we say that when it rains, it's not a lachak sukkah anymore. But I don't even have to ask that. That's not even such a big deal. But. But how does the Ritva reject this? The Ritva says, if it was true that it was so how does the Ritva reject it? Because he says, if it's really a chiyuv to sleep in the sukkah on the first night of sukkah, then what should it say about the Gzeirah Shavah? Right? No, not that far, but it should have said that. It should have been openly said that you're chiyuv to sleep in the sukkah the first night. So what do we do with all this? So let's take a step back. What? Which is?
You were stupid this time.
Right. So let's just review. We have three possibilities, okay? We have the Ritva's possibility, which we've basically taken care of, which is that generic yontov, build the modification off of that. We have the Tosos way of learning, which basically means duplication. What do you want to know about him? You'll see. Give me some leeway. You'll see. So Tosos is saying that the Gzeirah Shavah you take literally, right? But then the problem we're going to have is, how far do you go? And then the third possibility is Tosfos, is Rabbeinu Tzorfos, who want to say this bizarre idea that the Gzeirah Shavah is I got to sleep in the sukkah. So how do you approach this? How do you approach the idea of taking the Gzeirah Shavah literally?
No, he said, you know, sleep.
I'm not trying to.